Views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I was just thinking about something there as I was listening to the intro. If you go back and listen to that intro, said something about outrageous comments, about me making outrageous comments. According to who? Who determines whether the comments are outrageous or not? Now, I'm not blaming anybody because that promo, you know, I created that promo. I didn't create it. That's an old promo. That's probably 15, 16 years old. But that really is the truth. Who determines outrageous? What's an outrageous comment? Can I tell you an outrageous comment? Bruce Jenner is a woman. That's an outrageous comment. That's a government aid. That's an outrageous comment. Saying Jesus is Lord, or I wore my shirt today, every knee shall bow. That's not an outrageous comment. What's an outrageous comment if you attack the status quo? Anytime you attack the status quo, that's an outrageous comment. You pick whatever it is. You pick your favorite personal sacred cow, biblical, doctrinal belief. And anybody comes against that, well, that's an outrageous comment. It's an outrageous comment. And I seek unity. Listen now. Not uniformity. I'm not looking for little soldiers marching in order. I'm not looking for that. I don't want any uniformity. We have that, by the way, in American Christianity. You go into any church, you pick the church, and the format is the same. You go to a Lutheran church, you go to a Methodist church, whatever. You go to your church, you will know before you ever walk in that place what the order of the service is going to be. Now, some of the more traditional churches, they'll hand you a bulletin, and it'll say order of service. And they'll tell you exactly what, and you'll repeat some Bible verse together or some whatever. Uniformity. Everybody marching the same order. I'm not for that. You don't have to be my twin to be my brother, right? I'm for unity, not uniformity. Those are not the same things, my friends. And anyone who speaks out against, you ready? Uniformity, they are speaking outrageous comments. The fact that I would come on here and I would say an outrageous comment would be, in my mind, Zionism and the nation of Israel not the same. Oh, that would be an outrageous comment. If I were to come on here and say, I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Oh, my goodness, there'd be many who would say that that is an outrageous comment. In the worst place for censorship, I'm just telling you the truth here today because I love you. The worst place for censorship is in the American church. If there is not a uniformity within the church, that they either ask you to leave or you have to leave. You come in here, you fall in line, you do what we do, or you go someplace else. That's true. You all know that to be true. So I want everybody out there to know, excuse me, got a little frog in my throat here today. I'm not for uniformity at all. I love, dare I use that word, I love the diversity of this show, and I love it. And I love the fights that we get in behind the scenes, up in the queue when the show's off the air, and we're still duking it out 30 minutes after the show's over. I love that. Because my desire is to be guided into all truth, and I'll never make it into all truth if I won't hear somebody else's version of it. Now, I say somebody else's version of it because they believe it to be true, and I'm going to shock you here. Believing something does not make it true. And something isn't true just because you believe it. And unfortunately, for most of us, we are so burrowed in, dug in, anchored deep into some beliefs that if somebody questions them, they become what? Outrageous comments. The truth is becoming outrageous. The truth is, The scriptures tell us, My t-shirts, our t-shirts tell you that truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. Truth is an outrageous comment. It's an outrageous comment. Truth is. In fact, we're very hesitant to speak truth to those we love. I speak truth to my wife sometimes. Sometimes I don't speak the truth. Sometimes I watch what I say, because what do they say? Discretion is the better part of valor. I think, is that worth saying? Nah, it's not worth saying. But I know right now, if I wanted to start a fight, I can walk up about 12 steps, go around the corner, walk up about 12 steps and say something specific to my wife that will set her off. I can start fights. I don't want to start fights. I want to start discussions. And at the end of the day, as grown, mature men and women, we can offer each other the grace to be wrong. You don't have to apologize to me for telling me I'm wrong. We're all seeking the truth together. All of us are. All of us are. I am. I don't know it all, but I do know this. I was talking to Robert Klaus. Are you out there, Robert, today? I'm looking
I'm here.
Yeah, Robert and I, Robert rode to, I didn't know Robert before, not very well. I came to All Hands on Deck. And I rode to Branson, Missouri with Robert. That's not true, halfway to Branson with him, all the way coming home. And we got into a discussion, and Robert told me, even though he'd been a professor at Liberty University, and even though he'd been trained in seminary, whatever they call that, he made a comment to me. He says, you know what? Most of what I used to believe, I don't believe anymore. Most of the doctrines that I was taught in cemetery, I don't believe anymore. Would you comment on that, Robert? Do you still feel that way? You must be muted, brother. Sometimes you hit your phone, the little microphone comes up, and on that little
can you hear me now?
There you go.
Well, I had to go back and study the word objectively to see what it says, not on the lines, not between the lines. And basically did change some of my viewpoints. When you look at the word in context, I believe the Bible says what it means what it says. When the plain sense makes sense, look for no other sense. So I did change.
When the plain sense makes sense, don't look for any other sense. When the plain sense makes sense, right? When you're born with male genitalia, it makes sense. Don't look for any other sense. That's what you're saying, Robert? You went muted again, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just look at the word, read it for what it says, and try to look at the word objectively, not with your preconceived ideas as to what people say it means.
That's right. Dig in it to your own. So without going into specifics, you would say, Robert, that you don't always believe what you once believed as a believer. Would that be fair? Would that be safe to say, Robert?
That's safe to say, yes.
Okay. So somebody taught you a particular doctrine or theology that you believed and taught your whole life, and then as you did more and more research into it, you poked holes in it. You didn't. You just read it, said, you know, that doesn't make sense. And over the process of time and study, you totally flipped. Don't go into details. But you totally flipped on some of your beliefs. Is that true?
That's true. I believe
people
are either taught by the Holy Spirit or they're taught by man, usually. So I try to be taught by the Holy Spirit through the Word and see what the truth is.
Amen. Right? Amen. That's what I'm about here. That's what I think some of you Some of you know what I believe, and some of you aren't really sure what I believe. And some of you think I believe something I don't believe. I spend a lot of time trying to play the devil's advocate as if the devil needed an advocate. I spend a lot of time trying to do that because I'm trying to motivate you to think. I want to start on a scripture today. Got to get something off my chest here a little bit. J.R.'s name popped up there. Seven things the Lord hates. Pull that up, Proverbs 9:16. Proverbs 9:16. And I'm going to give you something here. I don't care what your theology, what your doctrine is. I don't care who you worship or what you worship. I'm going to give you a truism that is a truism beyond truisms. And you can take it to the bank. Proverbs chapter 6. By the way, let's read all of Proverbs 6 because Roger likes scriptures in the morning, he said. Make sure I'm in the right spot before I start reading this. Scroll down real quick to verse 16 for me just to make sure I'm in the right spot. Okay, yes, go back to verse 1. My son, these are from written by Solomon, the world Bible says the world's wisest man. He wrote Ecclesiastes, he wrote several others. Solomon. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of your mouth, and you are taken with the words of your mouth. You're snared with the words of your mouth, and you're taken with the words of your mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver yourself. When you've come to the hand of the friend, go humble yourself and make sure your friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver yourself, thyself, as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways, and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler. Yet the ant provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the winter. See, as far as I know, there's no queen ant. There's a queen bee. I don't think there's a queen ant, right? How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands asleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth, as an uncontrolled mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teaches with his fingers. Frowardness. Hey, Jared, maybe we better go to Webster's real quick. Frowardness. Frowardness. Odd word. Frowardness. Nope, F-R-O. F-R-O. F-R-O-W. Yeah, froward. Frowardness. Perverseness. Reluctance to yield or comply. Disobedience. Peevishness. With me? Okay, let's go back. Perverseness is in his heart. Who does? He who winketh with his eyes, a naughty person, a wicked man with a perverse mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaks with his feet, he teaches with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. Deceit is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Because, friends, there's six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. I can stop right there. What is that? What is a heart that divided wicked imaginations? Could that be those who are always looking for the worst? Devising wicked imaginations. Not thoughts, imaginations. Oh, yeah, well, he said that to me. Oh, I thought there was something going on. Let me call this guy and see if he agrees with me. Did you see that? You agree with that? That's a heart that is devising wicked imaginations. And he hates feet that be swift in running to mischief. And he also hates, by the way, a false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brothers. It's bad stuff there, boys and girls. It's bad stuff. And so it comes back again to where I started today. And I don't know how I started today other than the Holy Spirit wanted me to start today. There can be and should be no discord amongst brethren. Shouldn't be any. And let me ask you a question. If I have a problem with Kevin Van Story, do I call Chad? Talk to Chad about Kevin Van Story? Is that what I do? If I got a problem with Kevin Van Story, do I call Vinny and talk to Vinny about Kevin Van Story? Is that what I do? Somebody help me. Is that what I do? If I got a problem with Roger Weaver, do I call Larry and talk to him about Roger Weaver?
Well, in Matthew 18, it says to go reconcile with your brother.
In other words, you mean pick up the phone and call?
Amen.
Huh?
Galatians chapter 6 talks about you must confront your brother. A brother or sister, but you must be spiritual. You must be in total control with the Spirit.
So I try to do this. If I have an issue with someone, I know it's unique. I try to go to them. Say, brother, I got this problem. Why don't we practice that, folks, in our lives? Why don't we do that? You say, well, coach, you do it all the time. You do it. You're always on here talking about this guy and that guy. Well, no, that's it. It's different. Those are public figures. If I have an issue, I would go talk to Joel Osteen, but I don't think he'd let me in. I don't think he'd have a meeting with me. If he would, I'd go. I'd go do that. But I think it's the greatest form of respect that you have for someone if they misunderstand. Do you guys ever say something to your wife that she took the wrong way? And it ends up in a fight, and you think, God, that isn't even what I meant. A lot of that going on. A lot of that. And I love coming here past the salt in the morning because it's free flow of ideas. And I'm not your enemy just because I disagree with you. And you're not my enemy just because you disagree with me. But I'm going to do this. If I hear that Chad Estes said something that I thought, man, not very good. I'm not calling Trump, Mark Trump. I'm not calling George Lewis. I'm calling Chad. We solve a lot of problems, boys and girls, if we do that.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Can I comment on your seven things the Lord finds to be an abomination there? I look at this list and a proud look, man, that's not a inanimate enmity. That's part of a human's physiology. A lying tongue, that's part of his physical body. Hands, that's part of his physical body. Heart, that's part of his physical body. feet, that's part of his physical body. A false witness, that's the whole thing, the whole person. Mm. He, that's the whole person. God hates people that do these things. It's not the things he hates, it's the people who do them.
Larry, it's very clear. It's very, very clear. And these are simple things that we should not be doing. Can I tell you something? This happens to me quite a bit. I'm not the perfect guy. Please don't take it the wrong way. I'm almost impossible to offend. Oh, no, wait a minute. I get offended. But I don't lay in bed with it very long. I say, you know what? That wasn't what he meant. The guy said that wasn't him. He spoke that out of, he was angry or he was frustrated. He didn't really mean that. I'll give him some slack. That's my brother. But can I tell you the truth? Most men aren't that way. Somebody say amen. I'm going to pause because there should be a lot of amens.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Men take offense so easy. Men hold offense against their brothers, and it is abomination to the Lord. And we can't figure out why the other team advances the ball and we don't. We can't figure it out. The next thing you know, you got a cabal, a huddle of guys who all have the same ought against somebody. They don't even come to that. Next thing you know, there's an army of people that believe things that aren't true. When it all could have been handled if you had just picked up the phone and called. I don't want to beat this. You guys get me, right?
Well, Dave, I think a couple of things. I think one, we take ourselves too seriously.
We do.
Okay. And two, we react emotionally.
Right.
And we gotta quit doing that. We gotta stop and think and slow down and evaluate something. You know, and let you know, and have some discernment on it before we just go off. You know, I just, you know, it's easy to do, man. It's just easy.
Chad, why do we assume the worst in people? Why, if you hear I said something about you, do you automatically believe it and assume the worst about me rather than say, what did you mean by that? That isn't what I said. Why do we do that? Not you, Chad, in general.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, I think the reason is, one, the same reason that good news, nobody watches it on TV. They want to hear the dirty laundry. They want to hear all the bad stuff, you know, all those things. You know, and same thing, if a guy does something good at work, well, it trickles down. But when God does something bad at work, man, there's the Goodyear blimp's flying over with the banner behind it.
That's right.
You know? I mean, it's like we love tearing down people or being a part of that. I don't. I'm just saying we is in general, but you know, it's something psychologically not right, and we shouldn't want to. We shouldn't want that from others, and we should want to clear the air. If there's an issue, we should want it cleared off, and we have it cleared off on the side. Not that had to be in front of everybody. You know,
why should there be cleared off? Why should there be strife between me and one of my brothers? Why should there be? Well, there is because we don't go face to face. It's a hard thing to do. Now, I'm going to say this also. Second thing, along the same line, men in particular, talking about men now, men are looking for affirmation. Whether we want to admit it or not, men want to be appreciated and appreciated more than accepted. Men want to be appreciated. We don't get it hardly anywhere. We don't get any appreciation. And so, therefore, we see others. My wife's constantly warning me. God bless my wife. I was going to wear I Love My Wife shirt this morning, but I chose the Every Knee Shall Bow Church a shirt. My wife always cautions me. She says, honey, sometimes she doesn't use that word. She says, when you start recognizing people on the show, you're going to leave people out. Don't do that. And I wonder how many people have been offended because I didn't mention them. Well, I was there and you didn't mention me. Well, dude, why did you need me to mention you? Well, you mentioned everyone else. Well, check your own heart then.
We need to be letting the Lord exalt us and not us exalting ourselves.
It ain't about me. Right. It ain't about me. It ain't about me. I get all the attention. Why? I'm hosting the show. It's my show. But I don't try to go around and hoard who I am. I'm easier to get a hold of than Limbaugh. I got a phone. Most of you have my number. Some people say, well, you're too busy. We can't call you. I'm never that busy. I'm never that busy. And if you call and I don't pick up, I'll probably call you back. I always try to. Sometimes I don't. I forget it. Geez, come on here, dudes. Come on, man. We're in this together. My old buddy Dave Klontz told me, he says, Coach, you got to make sure that when all the shooting starts, all the enemy's in front of you. That's it, isn't it? That's it. So let me tell you that. I love
it.
I love, hang on a second, Gary. Okay. I love and appreciate y'all. I don't love you all the same. I love and appreciate all of you and all you're trying to do, warts and all. I got warts and all. Hey, I got a lot of warts. A lot of warts I got.
We love your warts and all.
I don't need you pointing out my warts. Stop pointing out my warts. All right? Look at your own. I got one right here. Yeah. Where'd that thing come from? Y'all notice that? See, now you will. Every day you'll notice it. You'll notice that wart. Right?
We love your warts, bro.
A wart. See that wart he's got? Yeah, you know where he got that? He's been having sex with frogs, toads. That's where he got. That's how it starts. That's how it starts. Come on in, Gary.
Yeah, the seven things the Lord hates. Those scriptures, even though it really applies to all of us in some ways, level another, but isn't that really directed more towards those who are not believers because they're entrapped in those things?
Well, it would be to a degree, Gary, except we exhibit those same traits.
Yeah.
Right? So when the Lord says he hates those things, we better look at ourselves. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? Yeah, I would agree with you. He's speaking about evildoers. That's what he's speaking of. But we find ourselves doing those things that we think are evil. We think it's evil in others. How many of you out there like to be falsely accused? You like that? Nobody wants to be falsely accused. Yes, that's what the rumor mill becomes. Nothing but false accusations. When it could have been easy if you just, you guys know how to do this? You go 740 and you hit several numbers. What is it? 10 numbers? Three? You hit 10 numbers and the person picks up on the other end. Said, hey, I heard this. Is this true? Let's, what's the word I'm looking for? Let's restore one another. Let's restore one another. Not argue with and tear down. I'm for every one of you in this huddle. I don't agree with you. And you don't all agree with me. But I'm for you. I'm not against you.
Coach.
Yes, sir.
I want to lift Chad up a little bit.
You can't do that because if you lift up Chad and you ignore somebody else, they're going to call somebody. The two of them don't recognize me either. He always recognizes his friends. Go ahead, John.
Well, he gave us a perfect example up there in All Hands on Deck. He had an adversity about a situation.
Amen.
And talked it out right in front of everybody. Right, and told about his disagreement later on that day, right in front of all of us.
Amen.
He came back and apologized of how he acted, how he spoke, and showed that he has a grievance with the situation, but he acknowledges what he did.
Mm-hmm.
That was a perfect example of training how to deal with people.
Amen, Chad. I agree completely.
That's right.
So we all need to learn how to, if we got a grievance against somebody, you speak to them about it. And if you feel after the situation that you're not right, go with the situation and talk about it again.
That's right. Guys, in a non-accusatory manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chad, yeah. Hey, Chad, would you say that, Chad? That's not the way you do it. But listen, man, I was just having a conversation. This came up. Chad, did I offend you? Did I do something that you come with a humble heart, contrite heart. The last thing I ever meant to, what can I do other than tell you I'm sorry? If I really, really mean it, and I come to you and say, hey, man, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. What else can I do?
You know,
balls in the court. You accept the apology or you don't. But we never get to that point until it gets too much pus coming out of the sore. So there's too much medicine. It's got to be thrown on top of that little infection that started. It could have been stopped with one daggone call. Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to mention, I've told many of the men in the queue this as we've worked together in the field and things happen. The way that I look at it, Coach, is we are the only things that could hurt you, each of us. Our actions, our deeds are going to be reflected on the ministry, including rumors. And I've been subject to rumors. I was at a show and information that I was sitting at a bar drinking at this show went all the way around this queue. And one of my brothers called me and talked to me about it. And I thanked him in love. I thanked him and I mean, that was the right thing to do. He didn't come at me accusatory. He didn't come at me at all that way. But the point is are we telling the people who's spreading the rumors, are we telling them, stop it? Stop it. Go talk to the man. Or are we passing it on? I've also been, a man's came to me and said, look, you've done this, 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 and this. I don't agree with it. And then they go and tell everybody else. So even after you address a man biblically, right, and he corrects his behavior, you got no right, you know, to go out and continue. Because it's still a rumor. And these are the things that tear us down. That's happened to me, and I could give you – I must be a rumor generator, Coach, because I bring this out in men. And people get so offended, and off they go and suck their thumb and act like a skinny jeans little girl. They should be on the street, and we should be yelling at them. Not in our queue. I'm so tired of it. I see it everywhere, and it just hurts people. And we got work to do. We got work to do. We need to assemble. We got to get together with all of our sins and flaws. How many people don't have a scar on your body? Look, I got scars all over my body, but those body parts are still assembled. So let's assemble, guys, and quit this nonsense. And if you are hearing a rumor, tell the people, stop it. I don't want to hear it. Go talk to the man. Leave me out of it. Okay? Be biblical about this.
The answer should always be, have you spoken to him? That should always be our first answer. Otherwise, we become tail bearers. Right? Guys, listen. All of us. I'm going to get closer because I'm talking to me.
Hey, Dave.
Hang on, Raj.
Okay.
All of us fight pride. All of us fight pride. And at the heart of your offense and my offense lies pride. Always. That's the greatest battle we have. Go, Raj.
Oh, here's my quick question. You're in a deacon board meeting. You're part of a deacon group. And you don't like how it's going. You go out into the parking lot and you talk about how it's going. Is that wrong? I mean, I'm upset with the direction of the church. I'm upset with the deacon board's decision making. I'm a member of that board. I feel for me to go into the parking lot and talk to another man about how things are going, I don't see that as being wrong. Now, if I slander somebody, I've got problem, but just I've often wondered.
I think there's a difference between discussing issues and discussing people.
Okay. Because
if you have a problem,
I've been
in those elder board. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I've been in those situations where, you know, you're a part of the committee, you're a part of the group, and you're not real comfortable where it's going, or you don't like it, and so you talk about it, not in a bad way. You just, hey, I, and then the other brother, man, you should have gone to him one on one. And I'm like,
well,
Well, why would I do that? This
Roger,
is
do you, as a deacon or an elder, you're both in a position of authority over men. So y'all need to talk about that because you need to square that away. But would you go to one of the laymen in the church and talk about your church problems, or just a deacon and elder?
Well, I would probably hold it within the committee, the group. But,
right.
But I've been in those situations, and I thought going to the guy was more if I'm upset with him. Here I'm discussing direction, and I'm upset with the direction things are going. I'm not personally upset.
That's legitimate. I don't think there's an issue with. I don't. No, okay. I don't think so. Matthew 18. Go to Matthew 18 real quick there, Connor. Matthew 18. This is so. I didn't mean to spend all this time on it, but I think this is. I think we hit a soft spot, and I think we have a camp because I think if this applies in every area of your life. You think about a fight that you get into with your wife, and all it requires is an apology, and you're not going to get in. You're not going to do it, and you're going to get in bed, and you're going to sleep back to back, and you're going to let that fester all night, and you're going to get up in the morning, and that thing's still going to be inside of you. That's why the Bible says to not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let it. Deal with it. Get it out. Get that stuff out. And we're not good at that. For whatever reason. Listen, I'm not blaming anybody. I love all you guys, right? I love all. Well, I love some of you more than that. Just kidding. Because now this is, yeah, I knew he was going to say that. He does. He loves it. He loves him more. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Coach, that's the key word that you just said. A lot of us don't really know what the word L-O-V-E means. It's love. Yeah. If we really love each other, we're not going to be cutting each other apart.
And we're going to, we're in this thing together. I don't have time to fight my own foxhole. Come on, man. So
are we in it together? Are we in it together if we're talking about each other behind our backs? Are we?
No. No. We're all guilty of it. We are all guilty of it, all right? We're all guilty of it. All of us. All, that means me. We're all guilty of it. It has to stop. Misery loves company. If you're looking for somebody who doesn't like me, you don't have to look very far. You'll find somebody. And you'll find a common thing about me that you don't like. And the next thing there, you know, there are six of you. Is it possible that you could find six, that you could find something about me that you love? Proverbs 18, verse 15. Slide on down, Connor.
Matthew 18.
Matthew 18, verse 15. Go on down. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, say something against you, whatever, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he doesn't listen to you, then take one of your buddies with you and go say, hey, so that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if this guy still doesn't fall in line and say he was sorry and get back online, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, boot him out. Get him out of there. That's what it says. But see, it doesn't start with telling it to the church. And it doesn't start with getting your buddies together and talking about it. It starts first with, Hey, Kevin, how you doing, man? Hey, listen, man, I was just having a conversation yesterday with Chad, and Chad said, man, that I'd done something to offend him. Man, I'm sorry. What is it, bud? I didn't do that on purpose. What is it? And Kevin says, oh, yeah, well, yeah, Coach, you know, maybe he got a little bit blown out of it. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know, man. I said, Kevin, I would never do that, man. I'm sorry. I would never offend you. If I've offended you, please forgive me. Yeah, okay. It isn't that big a deal. I've won my brother back. I don't pick up my phone and call somebody else who also has a bone to pick with me. Says, yep, he's doing it to me now. See, you told me he was going to do that. And that's exactly what's going on. Oh, yeah, see, he's doing it to me now. You know, yeah, he did that to Larry too. No, yeah, he did that to Larry. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Can I point something else out in these verses?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
These verses here are two of the three times that Jesus uses the word ecclesia, church. And the rest of his ministry is not recorded that he used that calling and describing and referring to the church. Now, this church, the ecclesia, means the ex part is original, originating from. Ecclesia is called out. So these are those original. And if you look back at the first part of 18, he was talking to his disciples when he said this. Right. That was he was telling them how to fix problems between themselves. Even his little group had rough spots.
Of course they did.
And so they were his disciples. He considered his original called out ones. That's where the church started, was with his disciples. And there are some people that say the church didn't start until after his, you know, ascension, after his death on the cross. But Jesus was talking about the church being that among the people that were with him, his disciples. So the church was right there, and that ecclesia, the original, that was the original church, was his disciples.
Good point, Larry. Good point.
So, Coach, when this happens, is there a way to make amends? Is there a way to regain trust when someone stabbed you in the back? Well, should you regain trust?
Yeah. Or how much trust, right? Listen, you cannot. How about this? This never happened to me. The closest person in my life is my wife. We are one, my wife and I, we are one. I'm going to tell you something. As much as I love her and as much as she loves me, if I go out on her, how long does it take to mend that relationship? So if a relationship as close as a husband and a wife can be wounded by offense, how much more a casual relationship between a brother? I lay in the bed every night with my wife. She should be really hard to offend. She knows me so well. But yet she can be. And usually when she's offended, it's my fault. Or sometimes she'll come back and say, well, you know, I brewed on that too. I took that to heart too much. But see, I got to be smart enough to know, you know, that's the way Michelle is. She takes things to heart. And I got to quit doing that. I got to quit prodding her, right? So if she and I can have an offense that divides us, how much brothers? More. And I would hope that you guys out there, and me, in regards to you, part of your duty and part of my duty is to protect you. If I hear somebody saying stuff about something Chad did, I'm going to stop it and call Chad. I'm not going to let people continue to throw rocks at Chad because he's my brother. I'm going to stop and say, wait a minute, have you spoken to Chad? Why? I protect him. That's a two-way street. We got to protect each other. Boys and girls, if we are going to go to war together, this stuff's got to stop.
Well, Coach, I want to get something off my chest. Every time I wear that cross hat, I've been wearing it out. Yesterday, I was in the VA hospital, and it's like everybody was staring at it, burning holes through it. We need to get a durable hat.
We're pride, brother.
Yeah, hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
I was at the Labor Day parade, and I was in front of Threshing Floor Ministries, and I got challenged by five people. One was the older woman, and the rest were teenagers. And they talked about me street preaching in front of the high school. And they said I'm too aggressive and this and that. And I said, wait a minute. Come stand with me at the corner. Be there at 7:30. And you witness it. But don't listen to rumors. Don't listen to rumors. They gave their opinion.
How about this? How about they come and show you how to do it?
Oh, it shuts them right up when I ask them.
Yeah. Listen, so I'm going to repent to all of you, some of you, of my tail bearing, my picking up the phone and calling somebody and saying, what the heck? I'm going to tell you this. I give you my word. I'm calling you. All right? I'm going to call you. And if you have a problem, as my wife would say, an ought with your brother, I'm going to ask you to call me. You don't need to go to somebody and say, should I call Coach? Yes. Yes, you should call me. Yes. I'll say it again. If you have a problem with something I do or something I say, call me. Don't call somebody else and get the lowdown skinny on me. Let all that spread and then have me try to undo a bunch of lies. Hey, I'm a happy guy. I love all of you. I'm going to say this, Lord. Now, this is going to really tick some of you off, okay? Right now, do I have permission to tick you off? I'm going to wait. I only need to hear five. Say, it's okay if I tick you. Go ahead. I'm listening for five.
Yes, sir.
Let it burn.
Yes, sir. Bring it. Bring it.
Yep. Cool. Go for it.
Okay, cool. All right. Great. Great. Thanks. You can stop. Okay. Listen. Most of you ain't never led nothing. You never led nothing, including your own families. You can say amen right there. All right. And now you wake up and you're 66 years old and you look back and you say, I have screwed up so badly. I didn't get this father thing with family. I didn't get this. Oh, my God. I screwed up so bad.
Amen.
And you know you've screwed up. And you want to try to undo it and unfix it. And you can't. And so we look at others and we like to point out where they failed to. They failed to. I told folks, I'm not sure. This could be wrong. I think I won 146 games and lost 102, I think, as a high school football coach. That didn't go into my baseball career and my girls' basketball career, and I coached wrestling a little bit. If you're a coach and you win half of your games, that's hard to do, man. I'm just telling you, over the course of your career, you win half of your games. That's tough. Most guys don't get there. I think I'm 146 and 102. I'm thinking. I don't know. I spent a lot of time leading. I've had my butt kicked a lot of times, man. I had to go home at night. Hated by most of the people in the community, and lay my head down on that pillow and not sleep and get up the next morning and go back and face those guys that I just coached on Friday night, face them again on Saturday morning, be man enough to accept responsibility for the fact that we lost, and we lost because I didn't do something right. When you do that over a career, you understand that the burden of leadership is heavy. It ain't easy, man. I'm not whining and moaning. It ain't easy being Donald Trump. I can promise you that. It ain't easy being him. It isn't easy being Nick Saban or Urban Meyer or you pick whoever it is. A public coach, that ain't easy job, baby. You don't even know the quiet nights. You lay there and you question yourself, and if I would have done this and if I would have done that. And calling me Urban Meyer a lousy coach doesn't make me a better coach. Doesn't make me a better coach. I could do Urban Meyer's job. Maybe not as well. I could do it.
Hey, coach.
But I would know that when the season was over, I'd know what Urban Meyer went through. I would know what it was like in his house. And most of you don't have any concept of that. Some of you do. But most of you don't have any concept of that burden of leadership. It's responsible. Yeah, come on in.
Hey, coach, I was just saying that, yes, you tear someone down, it doesn't bring you up. So stop tearing people down thinking that it's just going to make you look any better. All right? You look like a schmuck.
But they don't do it to look better. It's just this innate feeling that they have that they want to be affirmed. My affirmation comes from the Lord.
Amen.
You know what? I wrote down here. I wrote this in my notes that I made to myself. It just struck me today, and when I was up and I was reading a couple things on my email, I thought of the song by Queen. You remember that? You remember Queen? We all remember Queen. And I can't remember which song it was. I believe it. It doesn't matter. But do you remember when he says, "Nothing really matters. Nothing really matters to me." Remember that? What matters to you? When it gets right down to it, what really matters to you? Because until we figure that out, we're going to be picking and poking and jabbing everywhere we look. And for the most part, the things we argue over, can you ready? Nothing really matters to me. Or how about this one? Nothing really matters except to me. Most of it matters just to you. Or, I'll put my hat around, to me. We're impacted by how it affects me. That's a tough nut to crack. I hope I haven't sounded condescending or above anybody or bigger than anybody or more important than anybody. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. This team will not work if we keep cracking each other in the knees. Wait a minute. In the back of the knees. Not even in the front. It can't work.
Sad, coach.
What's human nature? It's human nature. And so we need to all catch ourselves now and stop doing it. We need to catch our friends. Catch our friends. Say, hey, let's stop it. Stop it, man. Give them a call.
Coach, it comes from the most unexpected places that you would never, ever, ever, ever think.
Right.
It boils out of some of these skinny jeans, man. It's so sad.
It is. It is. But I love y'all, and we try to restore all of us. And I want us to remain in fellowship. But listen, you don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. It takes a while for a wound to heal, man. It takes a while. My wife and I use a line with my wife. And because something will happen to us, or we'll get offended. We all get offended, right? So something happens that offends me. And so I share it with my wife, and I'm chewing on it for a while. And my wife always says the same thing. She says, "Let me call it. I'll give him an earful." And I always say the same thing. But now, don't worry about it, honey. Now I know. I'm not mad at him.
Amen.
But now I know.
Amen.
I know to be careful what I put in their basket. Now I know.
It's like seeing a shot from a tower far away. As soon as you see the shot, you know where the sniper's at. They're well hidden, coach. They're well hidden.
That's right.
And that's what the devil does. It's just careful how you deliver trust to other men, because some of them aren't.
Well, I honestly believe it's not. Okay, it's going to hurt your feelings. I don't believe it's malicious. I believe it's spiritual immaturity. That's what I think it is. It's not malicious.
Hey,
Coach.
Yeah, Larry. Yeah.
You know, you've covered this very, very well in today's show. Absolutely imperative that the body of Christ understand this lesson. But if you allow me, I'm led by the Spirit to go back to something you said at the beginning of the show.
Right.
And somewhere in your comments, you said, every knee shall bow. And the Spirit prompted me at that time and then has just laid real heavy on me that there's folks listening to us right now that have swallowed the church's teaching on this every knee shall bow concept. And that is, you know, that's where they build these end time revivals that just millions and millions of people are going to come and join and become Christians. You know, the whole world is going to be swept by revival and stuff. That's contrary to what Jesus said about who, you know, how many are going to make it into the life part of heaven, you know? But every knee shall bow. That comes from Luke, where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he's telling the Pharisees, he's not telling them a parable about some pie in the sky story he's making up. He's talking to the Pharisees about a certain beggar and about a certain rich man. And the rich man died and went to hell. So if you want to know where you go when you die, one place you can go is hell, because that's where the rich man went. And the rich man was able to see this beggar that used to sit on his doorstep over there being comforted by Abraham. And the rich man says, send Lazarus and bring a drop of water and put it on my tongue. And Abraham says, nah, can't do that. You had your opportunities. Says, well, I'm stuck here. Says, but hey, send somebody back and tell my brothers what's happened to me so it won't happen to them. See, that rich man's knee bowed. In fact, it bowed to the point that he wanted to become an evangelist and go evangelize his brothers. But guess what? It was too late for him. Mm. So every knee is going to bow, but it ain't going to bow before most of them find themselves bowing to the Lord Jesus while suffer eternally in hell.
That's well said, Larry. That's well said. Right? You can bow by choice, or you're going to bow. You're going to be forced to bow. But everybody's going to bow, right? Everybody is going to bow. A couple minutes left here. Help me finish this thing up. I didn't mean it to be so. It just needed to be said. And please understand this. I'm not sucking on my thumb.
Hey, Coach.
I deal with this kind of stuff a lot. And it just comes with the job, whatever this job is. Yeah, Jeff.
I would give support Galatians chapter 6 and then James 5, 19 and 20. That's what...
All right. Go ahead and give it to us, Jeff, because we're near the end and we're going to run out of time to get it up here. Galatians chapter 6, what's it say?
It says, if you have a problem with your brother, you better be spiritual. And then James 5, 19, 20 says, you find your brother in trouble, you straighten him out to save him from a multitude of sins.
Yep.
Amen, Jeffrey. Amen.
Understand this, folks. I'm not always right. I'm not even attempting to make that affirmation. I'm right, you're wrong. No. I'm wrong a lot. If I've wronged you, come on, do me a favor. Don't send me an 18-paragraph email of all the ways I wronged you. Don't do that.
Who in the world has time?
There's no emotion in it. There's no emotion in an email. Call me.
Jesus said offenses will come.
They will come.
Coach, it's just part of life, but it's how we deal with them that kept us move on free or move on with bondage.
Amen.
So at the heart of it, I believe, that's a great word, Randy, the heart of it for all of us, folks, is ultimately we're looking for affirmation. We really are, men in particular, in this society we live in. My goodness, it's hard. It's hard to feel value in this culture, in this society we live in. And the old saying, he ain't heavy, he's my brother, right? Right? I appreciate all of you. I would say I love all of you. I don't know all of you. That'd be a lie. I love you in the Lord, brother. Had a guy tell me that one time as he hit me in the gut. Love you in the Lord, brother. Boom! I'd say I'd feel a lot better if you hated me and the devil. At least know what was going on here, right? God bless you guys. Hey, we're into something. Something big's going on all around us. It's all around us. And the enemy would like nothing better than to sow discord amongst the brethren. That's what he's after. Psalm 127, 123 says, where there is unity, God will command the blessing. Not uniformity. Not all marching as soldiers. Unity. All have the same common goal and common purpose. That's what I want. Advance the kingdom of God. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.